I welcome in EJ Jr. inside Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. You should have sent me a case of Dreamland ribs talking about them on the commercial.
Oh, hey, listen, EJ, it's a bad thing about living in Tuscaloosa because I visit at least twice a week. I can go in and knock out a good half slab of Big End ribs.
I definitely had a couple of times when Pop was cooking them, going there and get a slab, a couple of pieces of bread, and I was good to go. That's what that sweet tea, I was fine.
Absolutely, absolutely. EJ Jr. right now inside the game. EJ, give us an update. What are you up to these days?
Right now, basically in between positions. I left Central State as of December. I'm in the process of still looking for another coaching position. But I'm on my way to take my son to meet with Bowling Green because he's an upcoming senior. He's about 6'3", 245 defensive end. So I'm on my way to take him to a camp that they want to meet him and just talk to him a little bit. Got EJ the fourth, who's a running back at the University of Cincinnati, just brought him home from surgery on his leg yesterday, but he'll be fine and get ready for his upcoming season. So I'm kind of being like Mr. Daddy right now.
Absolutely. And EJ Jr. right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa, we wish him nothing but the best in the upcoming senior season. And, you know, you could probably go back and remember those days when EJ Jr. was highly sought after in the high school playing days.
Well, you know, it's a flashback because the way I try to teach my sons about how to choose a college was very similar to how I ended up choosing the University of Alabama back in 1977 when I signed with the Crimson Tide. You know, look at the various aspects I use in my recruit tools that they need to look at the three categories, the athletics, academics, and social life, and try to ask various questions that will fit you because every university doesn't necessarily fit where you're perfect to go. And it was a great decision for me. I think my son has made a wise decision to go to the University of Cincinnati, and hopefully Kyle will do the same thing in this upcoming year.
As someone that's been on both sides, player and a coach, having a chance to coach in the college ranks, talk about that side of the business of how important it is, and you know the evaluation process, and sort of walk us through that as a coach and as a player.
Well, the first thing you want to look at is, of course, are the grades for the academic. If we are, because every young man that you bring to a college to play football or basketball or whatever sport may be, you have to make sure that they're going to be able to handle the college load or the academic to be able to stay in college. You don't want to invest in a player who you don't think that is going to drop out. That hurts your APR, that hurts your future plans of how you want to utilize somebody. So when you look at the talent, a lot of kids can play. It's just who has the mentality to do the work in the classroom, which will proceed on the field, and then what kind of behavior, what is their off field endeavors? Are they very active in other sports? Are they active in the National Honor Society, chess club? What do they do off the field? How are their parents? Are some come from a single parent home versus a two parent home? What kind of character are you getting? Because all those things go into the thought process of who do you want to recruit, and I'm under Division II, so we have to get the value for our dollar. So you have to really, really look and see who you're bringing to your university because they're a representation of that community, but they're also going to be a reflection of how you are going to be successful on the field and off the field in your particular college or university.
Right now, EJ Jr. here inside the game here in Tuscaloosa and has had a chance to play in the NFL, had a chance to play here at the University of Alabama. What is, when you sit down and you talk to your sons, I don't know if you show them YouTube tapes or DVDs of your playing days, but when you talk about the University of Alabama, 44-4 and playing for the legendary Coach Bryant, winning two national titles, three SEC championship, you never lost to Auburn. What do you tell them about playing at UA?
Well, it was a fun experience, but I don't think my kids have ever seen me play on film at the University of Alabama, except for maybe a couple of clips when they came to the Hall of Fame dinner in 2012, because a lot of the film that we had back in those days were on 16-millimeter reel. I was actually trying to get copies of VHS tapes at one time and lost the contact number to the man who was going to get me various tapes for that. So I don't think they've ever seen me play a lot in Alabama. I just basically talk about the experiences, who we play, when Alabama plays on television. I would like to bring them to an Alabama game, but I've always been busy with my own game, and they're playing their own game. I am going to probably take Kyle down to Dick's camp this summer, let them take a look at him and see what they think. Because, like I said, he's a true specimen. I think he might be as good a possible player. Now, in academics, it concerns me a little bit, but he's one of those kids who basically had an off year with too many distractions. He was trying to help so many other kids do what they needed to do. He lost what he needed to do, and now he's turned it around. But I think the biggest thing I want for my sons, I want them to be better than me. I want them to have their own life. DJ DeForest is taking my number now at University of Cincinnati, 39. Kyle has got my number, 39, and which was my last year, and I wore 93, so he's wearing 93. And then I got an 11-year-old who's playing Pop Warner type football, and he wears 39. So everybody wants to wear this 39 tradition. From the University of Alabama, like you said, make your own number. Because when I was at first at Alabama, they gave you Woodrow Lowe's number. And I said, no way, no how am I going to put on that jersey? Because that represented excellence. And I didn't think I merited it. So I ended up getting 39 Byron Bragg, ended up getting 47. He did a pretty decent job in it. But I really want my sons to make their own name and make their own number.
EJ, I go back, and if memory sort of serves me well, doing a little bit of research, in a spring, because you were known as a very quick linebacker. You were so quick that at times, did they not try you at safety as well?
I played my spring ball of my freshman year at strong safety. So I was playing 214 pounds, playing strong safety. And I played it pretty well. Did some good things in the spring game, and Coach Brian, after that game, said, I'm going to move you back to defensive end. I want to get you closer to the action. And I thanked him every day because that was a lot of running playing in that second year. I could have been a Ronnie Lott or a Kenny Easley, being that fierce hitter from that, but I know I kept playing the run very tough because I wanted to stick my nose in the action all the time.
It's unique to look at that. Let me ask you, redefine that position, because that position that you played, it's been redefined. And I think a lot of that started with you, and it continued through Cornelius Bennett, through Derek Thomas. That position of using an athletic linebacker to get to the quarterback and create headaches sort of started with EJ Jr.
Well, actually, it started a little bit before me. If you remember, Sylvester Crome had Wayne Hamilton, who went against Southern Cal, made some great plays my freshman year, and then Wayne was the first All-American. Then I was the number two, and then after that, Mike Pitts was brought in after me. And then let's not forget Emmanuel King, who was after Mike Pitts. And then you had Cornelius Bennett and then DT. The one thing that Coach Crum will always say, he said he wished he could have had two of us playing on that level at the same time. Because Wayne was playing great before I started picking up the pace. And then when I started playing excellent, Mike Pitts was just coming along. And then by the time Mike Pitts started really playing a pretty dominant role, EK was just a freshman sophomore. And then when EK came along, Biscuit was just doing what he did, just coming into his own. So he really never had two dominant. Can you imagine if Derek Thomas and Cornelius played at that dominant level at the same time? But then they played the position a lot different because we were defensive ends, and in our scheme, we were five-type defense. And Ken Donahue basically anchored you, and you're on the right side and you're on the left side. I wish I could have moved around like Derek Thomas and Cornelius Bennett. I might have had more than 39 sacks. But you know what? I played with some great guys, so it would have been difficult to probably get more sacks too, with Marty Lyons and Byron Bragg and David Hanna and Curtis McGriff and Warren Lyle. It's been kind of difficult probably to get more than 52 sacks.
Yeah, well, and No doubt about it, EJ Jr. right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa, an All-American back in the early 80s, had a chance to go on and was drafted early in the first round of the NFL draft. EJ, I want to go back to that 1979 team. You know, we think about great defensive units. We think about 2011, certainly a great defensive unit. 92, 61, where I think they only allowed 25 points in a season. But I go back to 1979. That was a great defensive unit.
Well, I really think that 78 was just as good as 79. The one thing about 79, we had more shutouts.
Yes.
I think there was a determination that we wanted to repeat as national champions. We wanted to have it undisputed because we had lost to Southern Cal the year before. So in some polls, they split us. Well, only AP. No, UPI, I'm sorry. UPI. Did not give us the national championship that year. So we were determined to be better than the year before, and I think that's always been the Alabama case. You want to be better than the predecessor. So after being 10-1 my freshman year, then becoming 11-1 and then going 11-1 again on back-to-back seasons, to go 12-0 was a major defeat, I think, with Don McGill, and that group being seniors, it was a great group to have. We had a good offense that made it easier for us to do a lot of things. And then, the defense just basically turned it up because of the fact that we always took pride. I think Coach Donahue was the best defensive coordinator that ever coached the game. And he made us always we were never satisfied with our game. So, and we believe that every time we finish the game, it should be zeros on the other end of the board. So that was one of the things we constantly strove for. We pressed. We had great people. I mean, when you think about Randy Scott, Thomas Boyd was just coming into his own, Robbie Jones, Ricky Tucker, Jim Bob Harris, Jeremiah Carr. We had a great group of guys and great athletes to play. So it made it easier for that team to do some greater things because these guys were moving up in the ranks and all I did was just do what I was supposed to do and be in the right place at the right time a lot of times.
I want to take you back to the 1978 Missouri game. We know that as a national championship year, I think you know where I'm going. You blocked a punt and flipped that game. UA scored to go ahead against the Missouri Tigers.
Well, that was a back-and-forth game. Missouri was always known as the giant killer. They had some really, really good teams. Kellen Winslow was on that team who ended up being my boss. That's how I ended up at Central State, and we're still a good friend. But Missouri had beaten every team that had beat them the year before. And the game was going back and forth. And we had been working on different punt blocks all week. And it was just an opportunity. Opportunity that arose, and when it did, I was able to break through and get my hands on the ball, and Ricky Gillian picked it up and took it for a touchdown. So, it changed the game around, but I felt that with our offense, it was going to turn around anyway. It was just, I'm glad that I was able to be in the right spot at the right time, and God blessed me to make a play, and we capitalized on it. And believe me, I don't know if that saved the season, but it was fun times back then.
You were also on the goal line stand, but if my research is correct, I believe you went into that game injured, correct?
I went into the game with a pulled hamstring. So I could not run. I did not have my maximum speed ability because I had really strained that hamstring, really pulled it. And I was trying, I played. I was effective to a degree. I just couldn't really accelerate the way that I wanted to without making it worse, but I just tried to give everything I had, and I'm glad Coach Brown allowed me to play that game because I would have just probably been a pile of mush had I not been able to play in a game that of that magnitude.
EJ, I know you well enough that I'm going to ask you the next question. It's a little bit relaxed, okay? So just sort of take it with a grain of salt. As an Alabama alum, and as one that have had a chance to wear the crimson jersey, we were debating in the first hour whether an Alabama fan should ever pull for the Auburn Tigers. EJ, do you have trouble pulling for the Auburn Tigers still?
You know what? And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to throw him under the bus a little bit, but it kind of changed my perspective. Byron Braggs was my roommate for 4 years at Alabama. And I ended up meeting my current wife, who's an Alabama graduate, through him and his wife, but he had married Wanda Gamble, who is an Auburn alumnus. And if it wasn't for those two putting us together, I'm actually celebrating my 21st anniversary today.
Oh, happy,
and we were,
happy anniversary.
Looking at the pictures of Byron and Wanda. And then when I think about it, Bill Oliver has been a coach at Auburn. And some other coaches that I know who's worn that Crimson jersey has coached at Auburn. So I anytime Auburn plays and it's not against Alabama, I cheer for SEC.
You're total opposite with what we were talking about in the first hour and a half, EJ. You're one of the all-time greats at Alabama. It's sort of making us nervous here.
I'm never going to. And you know what? If Auburn offered me a job, I would take it. But in all reality, I always cheer for the SEC because I'm up here in Big Ten country, and they think Ohio State and Michigan are the only two schools in the country. And I have to keep reminding them who has won the last national championship. It bothered me the other day to see Alabama lose to Florida in softball. But you know what? It was still the SEC, too. So I can still rest on our laurels that the SEC is still the top conference in the country. I'm proud to be a part of it. Because if it wasn't for those guys, and I got a lot of friends who played at Auburn, you know, Frank Warren and Byron Franklin and Joe Cribbs and James Brooks, you know, those guys helped me be the person I am. And if we didn't have that kind of competition, Alabama wouldn't be as great as it is.